And the Cats bounce back to get through to a 12th preliminary final since 2004. An incredible achievement. They've defeated the best the Giants could throw at them. They had to work hard, but they got there. We're always on the ball. We play the game as it should be played.
Led at every change, 14 points at quarter time, 15 at the half, 32 at the final change, and 35 at the close. 15-13, 103 to the Giants, 10-8, 68. And the epic road trip for GWS comes to a close in the West as they bow out of the 2021 finals. Kickers for the winners, Tom Hawkins booted five. There were two for Cameron, Rowan and for Close, with singles to Smith and Radigalia. For the Giants, two for Stone and two for Himmelberg, and singles to Ward, Haynes, Kelly, Hill, Lloyd and Mumford. Geelong 15-13, 103, defeat the Giants 10-8, 68. And for the seventh time under Chris Scott, his Geelong side will take a place in a preliminary final as they book a date with Melbourne.
Melbourne, oh, what a game that's going to be, Jerry.
Well, Melbourne are going to go in short price favourites, but they have got a very, very difficult assignment. Geelong are back to, I think, approaching their best, not at their best. They won't be that until Tom Stewart gets back. But I did like the look of the forward line, and I think that Radigalia, whilst he wasn't a dominant force today, he's a significant addition. I think it just gave them a bit of separation. Tom Hawkins was unbelievably good. Paddy Dangerfield was better, which I think they'd be happy with, and he'll be looking for another lever or another level to achieve next week.
So they stare down the anxieties that come with looking at straight sets after such a disappointing qualifying final. Chris Scott say you lean into it. They lean into it and they see off the Giants, and they go the long way around usually, so yep, we'll see.
Well, ultimately your ambition is to get to a prelim final. They've got there, and that's all they need to worry about.
I think Kane Little said they were leaning into their coaching issue as well, weren't they? So that's a bit of corporate modern speak for this.
Yes. Mm, okay.
Sorry,
maybe
didn't mean to dampen the mood.
Maybe that's what you learn when you do those two-week trips to Harvard.
I think so.
Stevie J and Leon Cameron on camera. And I've got to say, I look at this group and I think to myself, I've always thought all year they were underperforming. And they made that, I guess, a reasonable observation the way they finished. And I look at who's out, and I know they've got some good draft picks. This mob can, you know, they can challenge. I don't think that's too big an ask over the next year or two. They've got so many good young kids. They've got a good blend of youth and experience. They've found a few defenders. They could probably do with another superstar here and there, but, gee, their ground-level players are as good as what's going around.
If Hogan can become, yep, you know, can get his body right, then
if Hogan become Hogan,
Hogan, yeah, then it... Then they can cover to some degree, yeah, what they've lost with Jeremy Cameron, yeah, and then keep building from underneath.
Yeah, I look at it. I marked the names down here before. I mean, they've got some backup in the ruck with Briggs. Jack Buckley's unfortunately with the knee. He's probably not going to play much of a role next year until late. Jeremy Finlinson's always a question mark. Got big talent. Could play in that half-back line. I'm not sure how much more Davis has got. I thought he was pretty good tonight. He showed a little bit more mobility. Toby Green and Tom Green, I mean, these two absolute guns.
Huge outs for them tonight.
Massive outs. I mean, Tom Green's only a baby, but he doesn't play like one. So there's a couple of A-graders. Jesse Hogan, potentially another A-grade forward. Adam Kennedy gives depth through the middle of the ground. I don't know much about Peatling. He was playing tonight, but not sure of where he's at. I just haven't seen enough of him. Xavier O'Halloran's going to be a good player. Braden Pruce gives him a bit of depth in defence. In the ruck, and Jake Riccardi, I'm not sure he's going to be there, but I look at it, and if they got everything right, they're not that far away.
Yeah, they can keep their midfielders fit, which, as I said earlier, Leon's never really had. There's always been one or usually two injured, hasn't there, along the journey. So, and the players they picked up, such as Stone, you know, when they lost Jeremy Cameron, you know, if a couple of that, like Bruin, will be a better player next year than he is at the moment. Canelio remains a bit of a question mark, doesn't he?
Oh, it's a huge question mark. I mean, there's a major challenge for both him and the club. I mean, ultimately he can solve that issue by just getting super fit and finding his very best form, but he is so far off it. It's amazing what's happened to his game.
So it's the hard summer on that front for him, but the Giants should be well pleased with what they are able to do this season. They spent the last 74 days of it on the road through multiple states, and they took the Giants, they took the Swans in the elimination final, and they gave it their absolute all tonight with the outs, which were bad during the week and compounded by Jesse Hogan as the calf injury. He couldn't take his place in the game. So the Giants depart the scene, both literally and metaphorically, in 2021, and it leaves the Cats to bask with some of their fans over in Perth, 44,091, and Tom Hawkins the centre of all of it, having kicked 5 goals. And they can plot a course toward Melbourne. So the events of round 23 deserve to be reprised at some stage, and they're going to be reprised in a prelim.
Well, it just depends on whether or not Geelong can produce something like their form to three-quarter time or halfway through the third quarter. That was domination out of the middle, get it into a forward line that was functioning, have heaps of pressure in the forward line to keep it in there. And Chris Scott has got the group together right now, and he is just delivering the ultimate message. You're 2 wins away, boys, from achieving what you've all set out to achieve for the last 12 months, 10 years, whatever it is. There's so many stories, but ultimately the dream is the grand final win, and that's 2 weeks away.
And the final act of this will be with Joel Selwood, who embraces with Corey Enright, having broken his club games record tonight. Game 333, and they are going to hoist him up on shoulders. Tom Hawkins, who shared so much of the journey with Joel, and Corey Enright the same, both as a teammate and as a coach. So 3 of the great figures in Geelong's modern history together at the end of this semi-final. Joel, one of the greatest Cats of all. Corey Enright, bound for the Hall of Fame. And Tom Hawkins, a legendary goal kicker for them.
I think in my time as an All-Australian selector, there was, I think, 3 players that were All-Australian 5 years out of one of the decades, and one of them was Corey Enright.
Yeah.
Just an amazingly good player.
So Joel Selwood, an embrace with Brian Cook, and now heads down into the rooms. The Cats, 35-point winners over the Giants, 15-13, 103 to GWS, 10-8, 68. And Jared, Chris Scott's not one to talk to them that much after the game, but he took the moment out on the field.
He did.
To harness what it is and set themselves for a week's time.
Yes, he did. I mean, they would have had a very big week this week. There would have been some self-doubts. There would have been some recriminations of some sort. But ultimately, he would have been thrilled with what he got. And he was, I'm sure, just very forthright in saying, we have got a chance, and our best is good enough.
So the Cats are going to link up in their song. It's a phenomenal record in preliminary finals. Preliminary final for Chris Scott, his version of Geelong, 11 out of 15, and there's another one earlier than that as well in 2004, as Hutto referenced on the final siren. So their capacity to work their way into the final 4 is unrivaled throughout this era. What can they make of it? Geelong by 35 points. We'll go through all our awards, tie it all up, how it unfolded tonight. This is the post-game show for Rainbird. Rainbird, smarter irrigation, the intelligent use of water.
That quarter on AFL Nation was for Mate Communications, award-winning Aussie service mobile plans from $20.
to play next Friday night against Melbourne in a preliminary final. 15-13-103 to the Giants, 10-8-68. Tom Hawkins booted 5 goals. The post-game show for Rainbird. Rainbird, smarter irrigation, the intelligent use of water. So there's a lot of categories to work through here, which will tell you the story of the game. And we'll wrap the stats into it as well. The Furphy, unbelievable moment for Furphy, refreshing ale, born in Geelong, unbelievable.
Well, feel free to bob in because my brain memory goes back about 15 minutes, but I reckon Bobby Hills was Bobby. Memorable moment.
Yep. As you referenced at the start, he has built a highlights reel,
yep.
And now what else will he become? Well, he added to his highlights reel.
He did. I thought he actually added to a bit of his substance too. I thought he's
terrific.
Yeah, four-quarter effort. I thought he was. He's one that they would love to go on. They've missed Daniels, and he's another one I didn't mention before. But he could be a serious player if he can have say 6 involvements a quarter.
Furphy Refreshing Ale, born in Geelong, unbelievable. The MEGT Rookie of the Day, your local apprenticeship experts. So Connor Stone's left an impression on all of us in his fifth game.
Not a lot of possessions, but you can just see if he can get another big pre-season in, get a little bit of muscle on, probably play a bit of midfield, he's going to be a player.
And given how little he's seen of it, to be able to drop in after such a long absence, he was a threat out on the wing and he was a threat around the sticks.
8 possessions,
well.
2 goals, 1. It's a pretty good performance. Umpires robbed him of one. I'm going to give him 3.
MEGT supporting employers and apprentices for over 40 years. And they're the two contenders for the goal of the game for instant windscreens. Yeah. Broken windscreen call, instant windscreens, 1-3-2-4-4.
Yeah, they were contenders, both of them, but I think Bobby Hill probably took the gold and the silver and we'll give Stone the bronze.
Very good. The crucial moment for Nufarm, Australian through and through. We usually angle toward the positive on this, but the Perryman turnover, when the Giants had kicked their 3 goals, they had this extraordinary wave of momentum out of nowhere, and then Perryman was the terrible turnover out of half-back to Cam Guthrie, and Geelong kicked a goal, and that was sort of the end of it.
Robbed them of that magical momentum, didn't it? So it was a really key moment.
The tackle or tackler of the game for Toro, count on Toro to get the job done. Canelio laid 8 tackles, so he didn't do much with the footy, but he harried and chased. Max Holmes laid 8 tackles, and would you believe
so
Shane Mumford did as well.
I'm going to give it to Mummy. Yes. I want to give Mummy something. It could well be his last game. And, I thought he was a really good player. He's in the best half dozen players on the ground for mine, even though had a good battle with his direct opponent. But very good game from Mummy.
The Bendix Breaks big moment, confidence stopping Bendix Breaks. How about Hawkins out of the ruck to Isaac Smith as Geelong made their move?
Well, he's a forward, and he's just gone to the top of the highlights reel for the ruckman. I liked it. Little spike. Got into the outside, and it's a set play. They all knew it. The opposition didn't, but I reckon going next week, Melbourne will be pretty careful of how they cover those stoppages.
Put your foot down with confidence, Bendix Breaks. The toughest player for Hard Yakka, legendary gear. What have we got contested possession-wise? Ward had 14, De Boer had 14, Kelly had 13, Dangerfield had 13, Hopper 12, Whitfield 11.
I'm going to go for Hopper. I thought Hopper was their best player at halftime. He had a really big first quarter, and I think he's had a fantastic season. So Hopper for me.
Toughest player for Hard Yakka for a new breed of legends. The power player ratings for Red Energy, awarded Canstar's most trusted energy retailer nationally for 2021. That's Red Energy. So if you use the fantasy points, it's Stanley 125, Menegola 124, then Whitfield 113, Hawkins 106, and Hopper, Mumford and Kelly, the other players over the 100. So both ruckmen feature very prominently.
Well,
they
had a pretty good battle. I think they were both in the best 3 or 4 players for their particular groups. I reckon they may well both get some coaches' votes, but who did you think?
Just on the raw numbers, is Stanley probably tops there. The unmissable moment for Drinkwise, choose to Drinkwise. You won't miss a moment if you drink wise. That was the Radaglia mark in the second quarter, Jared, where he came from about 6 deep, came spinning into the pack and took a terrific mark.
There's a lot to like about Radaglia. I'm not sure what's holding him back. I'd like to sort of have to find out, because if you can just unlock every bit of that potential, you have got a combination of Tom Hawkins and Nick Natanui. And that's not a bad combination.
No, that's a good combination.
Tom Natanui.
You have a think through the votes, Jared. I'll give the stats for safety steel sheds designed to save, built to last. So from a team perspective first, Geelong 356 to 325 disposals, so they won the disposal count by 31. The inside 50s were dead split, 49 apiece. Geelong won the hitouts 43-33. The Giants won the clearances 44-41.
It's pretty tight, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. The contested possession count, Geelong plus 6. The marks, Geelong 92-65. The marks
this is
inside
50s. That's the stat.
13-5.
That separated the game.
Yep. And the contested marks were 12-8 in the Cats' favour. The tackles, the Giants laid 68-56, and the free kicks ran Geelong's way 24-17.
So if we cast our mind forward, that is going to be the stat that determines whether Geelong, in my view, go to the grand final. Is can they get a significant advantage on Melbourne with those marks inside forward 50? Because they haven't got the ground, they haven't got the ground ball talent to make up for a lack of production in the air.
Yep.
Tom Hawkins, Jeremy Cameron, Radaglia, if possible, Gary Rowan, Dangerfield, if he goes down there. They've got to get their marks that way. And against Stephen May and co, it won't be as easy as it was tonight.
Who do you want to give the votes to, Jared?
Five or six?
Just 3-2-1.
Oh, 3-2-1. I'm going to go one vote to Zach Tui.
He was great on return, wasn't he?
He was. I thought he was superb. They had to put a tagger on him, and he worked through that in the second half as well after starting well. Two votes to Lachie Whitfield, who I thought was the best midfielder by far on the ground, and three votes was the best player on the ground. Thomas Hawkins, who not only did he kick five goals, one, he was involved in about another half a dozen score involvements. A brilliant game from Tom Hawkins, and I haven't seen him play much better than he has this year.
It was a great turnaround from the Sam Taylor battle, wasn't it, from a month ago?
Sam only had one intercept mark.
Yeah.
Was I think last time was 14. It was world record.
It was crazy, wasn't it?
Hawkins took 8 marks, had 11 contested possessions, 19 overall, and kicked 5 goals, 1. Tui started terrifically well. He had 31, 17 kicks, 14 hand passes, and Whitfield topped all comers with 34 disposals, 22 kicks, 12 hand passes, and 11 of those were contested.
And I love the fact that he was really ordinary in the first quarter. I didn't love the fact that he was ordinary, but the fact that he actually fought back. He only had 4 touches, so he's had a really big 3 quarters, and he dragged his side back into the game. Couldn't get him across the line, but they still, I think, might have their moment in the sun, the Giants.
So 3rd versus 7th was how they were tonight from how they'd qualified in this through the home and away. The ladder for United Forklifts and Access Solutions. No forklift is as tough as a Cat forklift from United. So the Cats go through as a top 4 team to the prelim, and now it's up to the Lions to see if they can follow suit, or whether the Bulldogs, they finished 4th and 5th, will they live the whole season above the Lions? Will they make 22 weeks true, or will it be the end where the Lions got past them as they set up for their semi-final tomorrow night? A shout-out for Flight Centre, win big with Flight Centre, 5 years of holidays big. And have you got an eye on the cricket hutto for around the grounds for Chemist Warehouse? Great savings every day.
5 for $150. So the Pope and Johnny Bairstow have recovered.
Consolidated.
They have. So they're getting close to that Indian total.
So, Jared, a closing word, an enticing prospect next Friday night in a prelim when Geelong and Melbourne reconvene.
Well, firstly to the Giants, I was really admired the way they fought back. I think Leon Cameron was under enormous pressure in round 3 losses immediately. Great finish to the season. And on the Cats, well, I think they showed that they can go all the way, but they've got to go through Melbourne, and Melbourne, to me, their best is better than Geelong's best.
Geelong by 35 points over the Giants. This has been the post-game show for Rainbird. Rainbird's smarter irrigation, the intelligent use of water. Damien Watson is about to take over on AFL Nation and take your calls.